Hello and welcome to another episode of the FPL Hangover Podcast, where we raise the bar and lower the tone all things FPL related. Welcome back. We are recording this on the 31st of October. That's right. Happy Halloween, folks. And here to tell us the scariest story of all, an absolute nightmare of an FPL game week, my podcast partner in crime, Paddy. How are you getting on, my friend?
Very good intro there, dear. Fair play to you, getting the stabs in early.
Yeah, got it.
First of all, I'd like to say hello to the listeners and to the millions and millions watching at home. I hope you've had a better week than mine. As Jer alluded there, the only thing scarier on this Halloween than looking at Jer across from me is my FPL score this week, which we will get into. Do you want to go first this week, Jer? Or
yeah, sure. Before I get into it, I know you obviously just need a bit of time to acclimatize, Paddy. It's been a rough couple of days. But if you do hear any squeaking throughout the show, that is not technical difficulties. That's our own Paddy here. He's come dressed up in the spirit of Halloween. He's dressed up as Ali G, and he does have a very tight leather jacket on. So there we go. You can hear him squeaking along.
Waukesha. Is it squeaky?
It's a little like rustly, but I mean, if you were to offer me some rustles or you dress as Ali G, you know, I think it's a fair trade.
Well, I'm glad to hear.
But yeah.
So, I had to make an effort. It is Halloween, Jer.
I know. And I'm a little ashamed that I came so unprepared. But okay, so game week 10, 68 points.
Oh, lovely. Happy for you.
Thank you, Betty. Green Arrow. The tiniest of green arrows. I think technically it's probably a green, but it is as close to a grey as you're going to get. I think I went up 17,000 places from 2.1 million to 2.7 million or something like that. So, or not 2.1, but you know what I mean. So fuck all of a rise, but it looks green, and I'll take a couple of green arrows on the trot. 68 points, Captain Salah. He's the bulk of it, but Cash returning, Tsimikas returning, Ward-Prowse, Blanken, Saka 6, Son 16, Gordon, Haaland obviously with his devastating returns at Old Trafford, and then a nice healthy Watkins blank to round it all off. So yeah, all in all, I'll take it, just above the average of 66 this week, but nothing to write home about.
Oh, delighted for you, Jer. That's a beautiful score. What did Gordon get again?
Two. You got two.
Ah, okay.
Just what did Almiron get?
I sold him.
Oh, I wonder for who?
Martinelli.
Oh, what did Martinelli get?
3 points.
Oh, compared to Saka, you got 50% less than Saka. Oof. So that happens when you cheap out, Paddy. Yeah, that happens when you cheap out.
I know.
But go on, for the audio listeners, tell us how your game week 10 went.
Right, here we go. And do you know what, though? I'm not going to be too downbeat because I think that I can turn this mess around. I got 49 points. Okay, the average was 66. I know there's another average that the big players look at, but the average was 66. And it just went from bad to worse. First of all, I had Luis Diaz, and then the news broke that his parents had been kidnapped. So
crazy shit.
Yeah, crazy shit. So I wasn't going to get any Luis Diaz points. I knew that straight away, which was upsetting. But, I mean, not as upsetting as Luis Diaz probably is.
Oh, yeah. you'd rather be in your position than his. Yeah.
Yeah, you'd rather have his parents.
Yeah.
Anyway, then Areola nets 3 points. Fuck me, it just got worse. Then I started Adogi over Burn. So the Doggy came off, Burn came on, 0 points. Trippier got 0 points. So I got fuck off my Newcastle defense. Cash got me 5 points, which was nice.
A lucky five. Did you see that he just got subbed off before?
The clean sheet got busted. Delighted.
Bit of jam.
Then the midfield, Madison 6 and Son 10. And Madison only 3, as we discussed. Haaland 16 points. Watkins 4 points because I captained him. Oof. And then I had Højlund against City, which was 2 points. Now, my my transfer was Almiron out, and I brought in Martinelli, as I discussed in last week's pod, because I wanted to have some of that Arsenal, you know,
cover
going into these game weeks, and it just wasn't enough, Chair. But I mean, love another wild card. I would love another fucking wild card.
That team is a fucking mess. Isn't I won't it? Lie. Imagine if you hadn't got rid of Nunes.
I know, like, what the fuck? Just because I heard he wasn't starting.
No, you turned your back on him.
But look, just going into the next game week, I mean, I've got a transfer. I'll wait to see if Odogi does. I might even keep him. But I've got Trippier, Burn, her playing Arsenal. Jesus Christ. I've got Cash, Nottingham Forest. Got Madison against Chelsea. Son against Chelsea. Luis Diaz against Luton. That's if he's back. Martinelli versus Newcastle. Hoyland versus Fulham. Haaland versus Bournemouth. And Watkins versus Forest. So, you know, I think I'm not too bad looking going into the next game week.
No, I mean, like, nothing that's going to be fixed in one game week. That's the way I'd look at it. And it's a nasty one, game week 11. I mean, it's not as nasty as game week 13 is going to be. But, you know, there's, like, Arsenal playing Newcastle. That's going to be putting a lot of people, their talents up against one another. Spurs against Chelsea. I know there's not a lot of people have Chelsea assets anymore, but, you know, they're it's still not the greatest fixture that you'd want for your Spurs guys, you know, but I mean, you're sitting there with Madison and Son. I assume you're happy home to Chelsea next week?
Yeah, well, I mean, I was kind of footering about. Yeah. And a footering had me removing Luis Diaz and Son.
Okay.
And bringing in a Salah. And then I would have to bring in like a 4.6 midfielder. Like, I just was having a little peek to see if I could get to Salah. Because that Luton game could be hot stuff. Or I could just change Luis Diaz to Jota or Gakpo. But I mean, that's all going to be team news dependent, you know.
Yeah, and there's also a Carabao Cup this week, so
yeah. And I'd rather not take a -4 if I could.
Yeah, it could be just one of those weeks, Paddy, where you might need to kind of grin and bear it, you know, and get out the other side of it with maybe being able to roll a transfer. I don't know. As I said to you, it's not something I think you could fix in the game week without taking a lot of hits. And then fix, you know, it's a pretty vague term.
The ideal news I would get would be that Luis Diaz's parents are rescued or whatever and safe.
I think his mom is back.
Right. Okay. So that's good news. So even if they are both back, it still doesn't guarantee him playing this week, because, you know, he might be like just having some family time and stuff.
Yeah,
and he's traumatized and all. So it looks either way that I will be getting rid of Luis Diaz.
I think I've heard that the FPL community have banded together and they'll be sending some groups over to Colombia in an effort to resolve that situation. So keep your ears to the ground.
That's very good. Yeah, the usual. Yeah. Candidates probably heading over.
Oh, yeah, the usual ruffians. Mm-hmm. How was the Manchester Derby? Did you watch it?
I watched the first half in a bit, and then I had seen enough. I threw the remote to the Wolves who were waiting on the telly.
So I suppose Hoyland, then, what do you think of him now that he's sitting on your team?
I mean, it's not him that's the problem, like. It's the two wingers who can't seem to pass the ball or cross a ball into him. You know, we've got Rashford, who, like, when he's supposed to shoot, he passes. And when he's supposed to pass, he shoots. You know, he's got no confidence. You've got then the other prick, Anthony, who I think should be fined and suspended for acting like a spoilt, petulant little...
Just a haircut alone, I think, bitch. That's enough.
Yeah,
that's
you're
enough
right.
For
just
a fine.
They should shave his head. And... yeah, so, I mean, I'm just going to stick with Hoyland. He's not a fire at the moment, I believe, in my team. I've got, like, Palistri here. I've got Udogi. And I've got Lamptey.
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're saying. But I think when you talk about being able to fix the team, like, you talked about getting rid of dropping down Diaz to, like, basically a non-playing midfielder in an effort then to maybe move Son up to Salah. Whereas realistically, if you look at the team, that kind of screws you a little bit in terms of your bench is already fucked. You know, Lamptey, Pelestri, that's two non-playing players. And then you bring in a third non-playing player, like, I don't think that's really a viable option.
Well, you know? See, I thought Antony was going down for rape.
Okay. Oh, that wasn't going to improve the United fucking team.
Huh?
That wasn't going to improve the United team. Though,
no, I know,
it?
But I just thought it was like a little like enabler. Pelestri would be in there then. Like,
yes, I get you.
The time I done my wild card. So, yeah, anyway, I've got... And then Adogi. Adogi's got a 75% chance of playing this week, but so I'm not... You know, he's not really a fire yet.
Yeah, and he should come through. He should come through.
I guess
back
just really...
Team.
I might... You see, if it's the Luis Diaz is the keystone here, like...
Yeah.
I would... If I got news he was playing, I would probably... I would just roll the transfer.
Yeah, just roll it, see what happens next week. Yeah, what about the double Newcastle assets? You sticking or you twisting? Their fixture's taking a bit of a turn.
Yeah, it's hard because, you know, Botman's injury is worse than we feared. And is Shar out as well?
Not that I've heard.
No. Botman and Isak are out. Yeah. And Botman, I think, really does make that defence tick. So with him gone now, it's not good news for Shar owners, Burn owners, Trippier owners. I think that's what I was alluding to.
Well, to be fair, Trippier has been getting all those returns with Botman gone anyway. So, I do think he is a crucial part of that defence, and they do look a bit weaker without him. They didn't look particularly tight this weekend against Wolves. Now that was they were up against a Wolves side who were, you know, well up for it on Saturday evening. But like, if you look at Newcastle's fixtures, obviously home to Arsenal this week's not great. Then away to Bournemouth, you know, you'd fancy that one. But then home to Chelsea, home to Man United, away to Everton, then away to Spurs. So Spurs, United, Chelsea, and Arsenal all in the next six for Newcastle. Do you know? So, you know, if people are sitting there with the likes of a Trippier and they do need to make some surgery, you know, there is funds to be taken there. I think that's the handy thing about having someone like that in your team is that you are kind of storing up funds. You know what I mean? Like, that's one transfer away from, you know, all of a sudden having 2.5 million, 3 million in your bank. You know. So I'm just trying to give you some positive reinforcement there, Petty.
Yeah, I mean, another thing is it's going to be a big battle of the captains again this week.
Yeah, you know,
I think there'll be a lot of people that will captain Salah against Luton. Whereas,
yeah. But, I mean, you're a man now. If you had Haaland and Salah, who would you be looking at?
I'd be looking at Haaland.
Yeah, I think that's...
Captain.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's going to be the big question, I guess, if you were to look at talking points and stuff this week. I think that would be the focus on a lot of questions from people will be, do you buckle under the FOMO this week and get Haaland back in your team if you've already gotten him out, you know?
Mm.
And now, obviously, neither myself or yourself have taken him out of the team. But, you know, there's plenty of people who, over the game weeks 8 and 10 wildcards, would have decided to go, you know, Salah and Trippier, you know, kind of attack the informed players. And to be fair, every one of them, those people would have known that this fixture was coming up. Do you know?
Yeah.
That, like, home to Bournemouth was a massive captaincy shout. They may have hoped that, you know, Haaland had a quiet game at Old Trafford and wasn't going to go into this kind of fired back up, because he'd been pretty chill over the last couple of weeks. You know, he wasn't tearing up trees. But, yeah, no, he tore the house down at the weekend, and he'll be licking his lips.
He's well and truly back, I think.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
He's got his Champions League goal as well. Just before that, he's got his goal in the fixture, the last fixture, and now he's coming into a Bournemouth game, I think, on fire again.
Yeah, so straight, easy, I think, anyone with captain, I think it's a bit of an easy one, but you're right, like, there will be plenty of owners out there without him in the team, and if you look this week, I don't know about you, but I think it was something like 77% EO for Haaland. Which, as someone who hadn't captained him, I was delighted to see. You know, you can actually cheer on Haaland points when you don't have him captain, which is, I don't think I don't remember the last time you could really do that, you know? Yeah. Obviously, as a United fan, that was kind of a
He's up to 84% though now.
Oh, that's probably in the whole game, but just an EO for last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know? So, I mean, like, yeah, he's massively owned, but just in terms of people who had captained him, I was happy to see he wasn't doing damage. Now, he wasn't doing a whole lot of good either, but he wasn't doing damage to the ranks. Unlike those with no Salah, Paddy, like you crater.
Well, I have Holland.
I know, but you have no Salah cap to back
it up. Yeah, I got destroyed. Like, I got 50 points. I mean, what did you get again?
68.
You see, yeah, that's a big 20-point jump there.
I
feel like I was lucky to get the
You knew the day of reckoning was coming.
I think some people got even worse out there. Did General have a bad week this week?
I didn't see.
I've seen he wasn't even 20 points before the Sunday games, maybe.
No, I mean, he probably turned it around a bit, but like, it's just one of those weeks where, you know, everyone who had kind of done the No Haaland move, and I know you're not one of them, but like, everyone who had done the No Haaland move and had been benefiting from the Trippier points, you know, I wouldn't. The Roosters came home. The Roos is a bit like, I don't think it's a bit harsh. I think it's just, it swung back a little bit this week. But, you know, that's over the last couple of weeks, those managers are probably still up on the moves they made. It's just, this week would have been particularly cruel with the Trippier, with the double, like, any, like, Trippier and Byrne, if you'd gone in on them, that's a double zero-pointer.
Yeah.
Like yourself, you know, so.
I just looked at General score. He got 52 this week.
So he beat you. There you go. no, it's just one of those weeks. You know, it kind of swung back around, but yeah, I don't think there would have been mad gains or mad losses this week. And I mean, what's got me freaked out, and I probably am getting a bit ahead of myself, but I'm looking ahead to game week 13. Have you looked at game week 13? It's a fucking nightmare, man. Man City at home to Liverpool.
Oh, shit.
Newcastle at home to Chelsea.
Jesus.
Spurs against Villa. So, I mean,
that's a lot of cancellations.
Yeah, Arsenal away to Brentford, that won't be bloody easy. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of those weeks where I'm like, that's going to... A lot of people are going to have players playing.
Yeah, but everyone's in the same boat, though.
Yeah, more or less. You know, it is going to be one of those kind of grin and bear it weeks, I think. And then I think the next few are going to be kind of maybe keep the powder dry a little bit. I don't know where people are going to look to attack. I guess it's just making back ground that you mightn't have already capitalized, like the likes of Arsenal. Do you know what I mean? Like last week, obviously they were heavily talked about Saka being, you know, one of the most transferred in players. Lovely fixture. They do have a tough one this week, but the Gabriel news might have put some people off. Like I saw Gabriel not starting, and I was like, shit. Like I was very close to going Gabriel this week instead of Tsimikas, and it was only the away fixture to Newcastle next week that put me off, or the home fixture, whichever it is. But no, away, so it was only the away fixture that put me off, and I was like, fuck it, I'll go Tsimikas, save that extra bit of money. I think he comes back in the team straight away.
I think he does.
A lot of people are going like, oh, there we go, it started again. He's out of the team now. He's lost his space.
I don't think it's like that, you know. Jesus, he's still one of their top guys, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, you're probably head up in the air. Teams to target, Paddy. Can I make some suggestions to
for you? This week or what, 13?
Well, just like for people looking to kind of either make a few bob or you know, put out some fires in their team. Brighton? I mean, Brighton, Everton, Sheffield United, Nottingham Forest, and Burnley in the next six. Obviously away to Chelsea and home to Brentford in two of those as well, but even they're not the worst fixtures, you know. So yeah, Brighton still very much attackable. Mitoma didn't do much this week, thankfully. I was happy, but Evan Ferguson did start and score, so there you go for people on the likes of, you know, looking to maybe switch it up a bit. I do think he's a bit of an option. He's a bit of a swing though. I just think Welbeck's injury makes him a little bit more secure.
Yeah.
Totally. Kind of way, which is a good thing. So it's a big plus for him. You also have Adingra and Mitoma both started this week as well. So Adingra, 5 million, looks to be a cup price option. Again, you never know with De Zerbi. Like, he does like his rotation. I do think March's injury hopefully puts him on that right wing spot a bit more, you know, more likely to play out there, which is where he's been. And then Mitoma obviously keeping his spot on the left. He looks, to use an FPL term, essential. I think he looks essential for De Zerbi's plans, you know, not necessarily in FPL wise, but I don't think he gets dropped anytime soon. So he's your really solid, I think, 6.5 million option into Brighton. But you're spot on, Petty. Brighton, a team to be looking at. I think Crystal Palace defensively.
Yes.
There's some good options there. Again, people looking to, you know, come off the likes of Ndogi, come off of Trippier. I don't know why I'm saying come off Trippier.
So come off like a Newcastle defender even.
Maybe, you know, as like I said, like Newcastle's fixture is toughening up. Like, yeah, Newcastle's fixtures are toughening up. I told you, as I said already, you know, like they're playing four of the top four teams in the next 6 game weeks, you know? So double Newcastle defence isn't exactly something that I think many people would be capitalising on. But there you have the likes of, I think, Crystal Palace, away to Burnley this week, home to Everton, away to Luton, away to West Ham, and at home to Bournemouth in the next 5. Do you know what I mean? So Burnley, yeah, Everton, Luton, Bournemouth.
They're tasty.
They're tasty fixtures, and it's not something you'd be expecting loads. Like, I'm not saying splash out 5.5 million on a fucking Crystal Palace defender, but
they're all good prices. Like,
Mark Gay is sitting there. I think he's still 4.5. Maybe he's gone up to 4.6 now, but I mean, that's a good solid budget option, you know. The likes of fucking Anderson is obviously a bit more expensive, but he's sitting in my team just because I got him cheap enough on the wild card. So he'll stay there for a while. So, you know, Crystal Palace are easy, or, you know, a team worth looking at. Brighton, a team worth looking at. I'd still be staying the fuck away from Chelsea. It's a bit worrying, not worrying. It's a bit unfortunate that Neto has pulled up with a hammy. Like, I don't know how serious it is. Apparently, it's not the worst, but he'll obviously be out for a while with that, because they were coming in. Wolves were coming into some lovely fixtures, like away to Sheffield United this week. That's a nice fixture, I think.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Obviously, home to Spurs after that's not going to be too great, but like away to Fulham, away to Arsenal, home to Burnley, home to Forest. So that's like Forest, Burnley, Fulham, and Sheffield United in the next 6. Do you know? I get like a nice little kind of green patch. The only question is there, who do you target now that Neto's gone? Like, who do you look to? Like, how are they going to react to that? He obviously makes a massive difference to the team. Like, I mean, you just had to look at how they performed once he came off on Saturday. Your man, Hee-Won Chang.
Yeah, I was going to say Hee-Won Chang. He's like, still at a good price as well, 5.5. And he also got on the points this week, didn't he? He got 7 points. And he's not that far behind Neto. I think Neto's got like 52 points and Hee-Chan is on 49.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely butchered his name I did there. Hwang Hee-Chan. He's on 5.5 million. As you said, Paddy, he did come in the points this week. He got a goal. That's his 6th goal this season.
Yeah, he's doing it under the radar. He's doing it quietly. Like, I know, like, Neto's out now, but I mean, Hee-Chan isn't a bad pick. And just actually, here are their points. I was right. Neto's got 52 points total, and Hee-Chan has got 49 points total. So, I mean, Hee-Chan's 5.5. He's great price. So, no, that's great players to bring to our attention there, Jer.
Yeah, I think if I was to do it with a caveat, it would be that I wonder how much he was benefiting from the likes of Neto being on fire.
Yeah, being on fire. Yeah. Exactly. That's another way to look at it, you know. Yeah.
So a little concerning.
Little one there. I want to add a player to the fold here. Liverpool's Szoboszlai.
Yeah.
He's been ticking away nicely. He's Liverpool's second highest scorer in FPL, 7 million. And I'm actually thinking about him as well as my Diaz replacement. Because he seems to be more nailed in the team as well.
Well, look, I mean, first things first. As a player, yeah, he looks fantastic. FPL option, obviously everyone's going to be a little bit suspect of deep-lying midfielders. Szoboszlai seems to be tipping away. You're right. He's got 4 assists and 1 goal this season. 2 of those assists did come in the last match. Personally, I think for 7 million, I wouldn't be touching him. He's too expensive.
Okay. See, we need the voice of reason here, times two.
Yeah. I mean, like, great week, as I said. I think he makes a massive difference to Liverpool. And he affects all of the players around him. So, like, when he doesn't play, you know, every other Liverpool asset, I think, are going to be a little bit weaker because of how much he brings to the team. But yes, FPL wise, I still think 7 million for a player with 5 attacking returns, 2 of which were in just the last game week. Yeah, too much for me. But
do you not think he might go on to a nice run here, like, and
I just don't,
these fixtures?
No, I just don't think he plays high enough. I don't think he occupies pitch, you know, simple as that. Okay. But, you know, it's definitely going to turn a few people's heads. You know, it's one of those players that, you know, obviously his name is going to catch your eye because no one could fucking pronounce it. And yes. And then, you know, the fact that he's just delivered a double-digit haul, that's probably pushed him into, what, 44 points in total. Anyone, you know, organizing their team kind of on a broad, not organizing team, but looking at potential transfers on a broad scale, they're going to be, he's going to catch their eye. Do you know what I mean? But no, I think long-term, 7 million, I'd rather be investing that somewhere a bit, like the likes of, like, for 7 million in and around that, you can be targeting a Jared Bowen, you know, even Diaz. I know you're talking about getting rid of him, but I'd nearly be just fucking waiting, seeing how that shit storm plays out.
Yeah,
you know?
I probably will see how that goes, and if it looks like it's not good for him, I probably will go with Jota.
I mean, I'd be honest with you, Petty, I'd probably go back to fucking the likes of Vimbuemo before I'd look at Szoboszlai.
That's him ruled out then.
Yeah, I mean,
he had to be spoke about.
He did, and I had to segue nicely into Mbeumo, who's still cursing anyone that got rid of him. I'm pretty sure he's gotten like almost 30 points in the 3 weeks he's since he left my team, and since he left, I'd imagine, quite a few Game Week 8 wildcarders teams.
Yeah, he left my team, and he's been haunting me ever since. He's total of 67 points as well so far, which is quite good for a player that would only cost you 6.6 million.
Yeah, I mean, his price has just kept dropping, which obviously that's what I mean, that the sellers are still, well, up to last week anyway, the sellers were still kind of there in their droves. But West Ham at home this week kind of proceeds.
And Liverpool and Arsenal after that.
Yeah,
so
two tough ones, Liverpool and Arsenal. But right after that, home to Luton.
You'll want him for 14.
Yeah, home to Luton.
That's the one.
You know, home to Luton and away to Sheffield United 2 weeks later. Like, he'll be definitely one to kind of stick on that watch list, and hopefully he doesn't go too.
Yeah, he's definitely been written down in my little book here, so he is to come back.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone else caught your eye, Petty?
Not really. I didn't get a lot of football in because it was a bank holiday weekend over here, and there were so many things on Halloween and that. But, you know, and Mbeumo did catch my eye. Szoboszlai caught my eye because he was just everywhere creating. You know, I just thought, you know, he looked like such a player, and I thought to myself, really low ownership, but like you said, Mbeumo there is going to get you. He's higher up the pitch. He's ticking away nicely. The thing with Szoboszlai is that he's the sister of the assister.
Yeah, kind really. Of. Yeah, that is kind of it. And then every so often, obviously, he's going to be the one that actually fucking does put on the final ball. But yeah, I think you'd summed it up there. He does reek of assister to the assister kind of vibes. But yeah, anything else, Petty, before we head on over to the mini league?
Nothing really else. It's kind of one of those game weeks, isn't it, where, you know, there wasn't a lot of talking points. I mean, I think anything there was, we covered there. Like, the fixtures are getting difficult for a lot of the big six teams, and it's just something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, they're very sporadic in their kind of in their difficulty levels at the moment. You know, as we said, Arsenal, horrible fixture this week, way to Newcastle. Like, I don't want much of that, but right before home to Burnley. So, I mean, you know, obviously you're not even worried about Arsenal assets. They're staying there for a while, and yeah, we'll probably be getting a bit more investment over the next few weeks. City then, the opposite. Lovely fucking fixture this week, but, you know, right beside Chelsea and Liverpool, and, you know, whatever, I don't know.
Just before we do move on to the mini league, I want to just touch on a couple of other wee bits. What about Tsimikas coming in there for Liverpool? You know, I've seen anyone who went there once they got the Robertson news.
Yeah.
You know, that he was injured. They've brought him in cheap, got another clean sheet. Another player I want to talk about is Palmer. Yeah. Is he a fucking permanent fixture now in this Chelsea team? He's on penalties. I mean,
let's do it one by one. So Tsimikas, Yeah, no, I mean, I went in on him this week.
Oh, excellent, yeah.
Yeah, I think he's, like, he looks nailed, if you ask me. Like, they don't have much of an option. I know they're talking about, oh, we could play Joe Gomez on the fucking left and all this other bullshit. And it's like, nah, you're going to stick with the guy who's helped you get 2 clean sheets in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And, you know, you saw him get a rest in the Europa League on Thursday. So, yeah, I think Tsimikas, I think he's still 4.5. He's still 4.5, so their fixtures, no, he's actually 4.6, I tell a lie. But away to Luton this week, home to Brentford, away to City, home to Fulham, and away to Sheffield. Yeah, no, he stays there for me. Like,
yeah,
with that price point, with 4.6, like, you can put him on the bench without worrying about it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you wouldn't even need to, because I think Liverpool are the kind of team that, you know, they're capable of winning a match to nil against anyone. But for 4.6, you wouldn't be worried about it. So yeah, he's a, for me, probably, like I talked about Crystal Palace and teams like that and targeting their players. But yeah, he'd be a bit more up, higher up the watch list for me. Like 4.6 million into Liverpool defence. Yeah, an easy decision.
An easy keep.
Yeah. And the other one you mentioned then was Cole Palmer, wasn't it?
Yeah, I was just having a look at Cole Palmer there. 5 million. Apart from getting beat there by Brentford 2-0, he was on quite the little run. 6 points, 12 points and 5 points and him on penalties. But I don't think you want to be looking at Chelsea until game week 16 because the fixtures are looking tough. Chelsea aren't looking great. But he was a player that just had to be brought up. I think we touched on him last week, but briefly. Spurs, City, Newcastle, Brighton and United the next 5 games. So
yeah, I think
it's an avoid for me, you know, until maybe 15, 16.
If I was to play devil's advocate, like, yeah, like numbers or fixtures wise, like I wouldn't even be looking at him. But what he does offer, like you talked about dropping Diaz down to a shitty non-playing player at the start of the show. Well, I mean, yes. Here's one for 5 million. Do you know, that's like, if he's part of those kind of transfer moves where it's like, look, it's a bigger picture move. You mightn't play him every week. Maybe you have to play him. 5 million. I mean, I'm sitting there with James Ward-Prowse and Anthony Gordon in my team. I mean, Anthony Gordon has also got, as we mentioned, like kind of some rough fixtures coming up now. 5.6 million. I don't know if I'm going to want to play him in every match. And I don't know how different he is from the likes of Palmer. But, you know, there's a 500,000 saving there on the likes of Cole Palmer. He is on penalties. He did look like Chelsea had some good moments in that match at the weekend. And he looked like, I was a bit like, shit, he's going to fucking do the biz here. Now, obviously, it didn't turn out that way. And thankfully, but as you mentioned, on penalties, he's gotten 4 attacking returns in his last fucking 4 games that he's started. I wouldn't rule him out too much. I think you're bang on, like, in terms of the fixtures being horrible. But there is options there for budget enabling. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he is a viable, fifth midfielder. If that's if that's what you wanted to do, an 8 attacker, I think, is something I've seen thrown around. I'm like, yeah, if you have the money, you know, it can make sense.
Yeah, is it an enabler? Yeah, no, that's good. And last but not least, Diaby is ticking away as well there for Villa. And I think he's another great player to go into them. There's so many good juicy midfielders that you could get in there, isn't there? And the fixtures are still looking sweet for him. Only 14% ownership now, 6.8 million. What do you think of Diaby as a wee punt in there?
Yeah, like we did talk about him last week. I think I actually said the opposite last week. I think I said, like, you know, maybe it's overkill having that much Villa. Like, when you have the likes of Watkins, who's 8 million, maybe putting that much of your budget into Villa attack, I think I could have said was a little bit overkill. I don't know if I totally stand by that, in the sense that I didn't realize how lowly owned he is, if I was being honest. When you said it there, I was like, he's only 14% total ownership in the game, in the FPL website, which means, like, in reality, he's probably a little bit lower than that. I didn't realize he was so low. And he obviously came good for anyone that held their patience with him. And then obviously, like, at home to Luton, you're never gonna want to get him out. One thing, again, I'll play devil's advocate. Well, yeah, actually, I don't know if you were saying he's a good option or not, but he does seem to be nailed for starts. That's the main thing. Do you know? Like, yes, he's come off on the kind of 61st minute and, you know, 80th minute a few times and stuff, but, like, he seems pretty nailed on to start. He has done three goals and five assists, so, like, 8 attacking returns since he's come into the team this season. I think he's a completely fine option, 6.8 million. I think when you just, as I said, putting that alongside Watkins, and then even if you've gone like 4.7, 4.8 with cash, that's quite a chunk in Villa. But, like, Villa are fucking doing great. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're,
you know, they're doing great.
Yeah, and as you said, the fixtures are still great. Nottingham Forest, Fulham, Spurs, Bournemouth, all in the next 4. Do you know, it gets a bit nasty in game week 15 with like the likes of City and Arsenal coming up.
Yeah, but plenty of time to get them out of your team by then.
Yeah, I do think so. So yeah, there's just so many fucking options this season, man. There's so many options.
Right, well, we do the mini league then, and then come back to our roundup of what we're doing, our moves, captaincies and things. And sure, I think that will be it then, Chair, for tonight.
And then we get our masks on and we go trick-or-treating.
Exactly.
All right.
Right, so here we go. The mini league. I have it up and ready.
You have to do the full thing, Petty. You have to do the FPL Hangover Podcast Mini League. It's
okay. You take that bit there, then go.
Okay. The FPL Hangover Podcast Mini League.
Wow, that was amazing. Brought to you by Kinniger Beer. Of course, this month, there will be someone again awarded with some swag and beers. Last week we had Gavin. So Gavin got his goodies there. He gave us a tag, and he was delighted to get them. So just well, be no harm in checking to see. Is this not? Yeah, we'll have a manager of the month after this game week. Another one.
Jesus. Okay.
They're coming in fast. So anyway, here we go. The top 10. Are you ready for this, Jer?
I am.
And let me see if I'm ready. Yeah. Donal O'Regan. He holds the top spot. No change in the top. Tour is second. Glenn Judkins is third. Peter Scullion in fourth. Gavin O'Donnell in fifth. Antoinette Buckley in sixth. Belgian Brutta in seventh. Fergal Casey in eighth. And Altair Basri in ninth. And James Walsh in tenth. Donal Reagan scored 82 game week points this week. He's overall 859 in the world. He's having an absolute stormer of a season. So he's in
top 1K, repping our league, man.
Top 1K. Well done, Donal. Great, great stuff. So we're going to go now to the manager of the week. And the manager of the week is Gavin O'Donnell, who was last week's manager of the month. Or last month's manager of the month. So Gavin, well done. 88 points is absolutely amazing. We'll give a special mention to Derry O'Brien on 87, to Corey Callan, 85, and Anthony Buckley on 83, and of course, the number one, Donal O'Regan, 82 points. So some great shooting, but of course, with the good must come the bad. And the walk of shame this week goes to Marius Sanmo on 54 points.
Whoa.
Yeah,
whoa.
I'm just checking that. I have the league only set to 50.
Oh, I see. So, I see. Paddy, I think you might be forgetting a few people there.
Yeah, I think you're right. So bear with me. We are reloading the league.
Ooh, nearly thought you got away with it. Little snake. You thought you got away with it.
Do you know what? As soon as I called out 52, I was like, hold on a second. I'm fucking lowering this. And I did not do this on purpose. This was just... I didn't set the league numbers because it's a big league, isn't it?
Yeah, it's massive. Yeah, massive.
Bloody massive.
Millions and millions.
To all the millions. So it's just loading up here again. So I would like to take this moment to tell you all about the new, what do you call that cream you're using on your balls?
Ice Whisper.
I love it.
I'd buy you some ball cream if it was called Ice Whisper.
Ice Whisper.
Right. 99% chance of blowjob. Yeah.
So, let's go again. I would like to take the manager of the week off. who did I say it was?
Gavin O'Donnell is who you gave credit to.
Yeah, well, sorry, Gavin. It's Aaron Yades who got 100 points this game.
Oh, what a club. You made an absolute balls of this, Pat.
I did. Special mention goes to Paul Ryan, 94 points. Frank Fallon on 91 points. Donal Hurley on 89. And Gavin Dowell, 88. So now we go to the worst managers. And the worst manager is Matthew, called FPL Last. There you go, Matthew. You good name. 44 points he got this week. Special mention goes to Owen Doyle, 45, GM Stevens, 47, Reece Jones, 47, Cameron North, 48, Danny Watkins, 49.
See, that has to cheer you up.
Paulo Castro, 49, Stephen Olalowe, 49, James Russell, 49, and we can just leave there.
Petty Brown there, 49.
And me there, 49, of course. So yeah. The biggest riser in the league goes to... Oh, God, where is it?
Man, this is not your day.
No, everything's messing up here. It's Halloween. Well, like,
it's haunted.
Anyway,
it's haunted
the biggest drop in the league was Cameron North, who dropped 75 places. And here we are now. We're coming up to the biggest rise in the league, which goes to, drumroll please, Derry O'Brien, 38 places. Bravo.
Boom.
We'll just have a wee visit to the bench wankers here before we tie this up as well. Bench wanker this week goes to Richard Pannons, who had 23 points on the bench.
23 points. Oof.
Ouch.
I'm trying to even think of like where that sits
there.
Yeah,
who could be in
there?
Like, net transfers this week. Transfer genius goes to Johnny Armstrong and to Noah Aberg. Both of the managers got themselves 14 points from two transfers. Johnny Armstrong got rid of Luis Diaz for Saka, and he got rid of Byrne for Braithwaite. And Noah Aberg got rid of Chukwuempa for Diaby and Trippier for Maguire. So those were the transfers. Yeah. And oh my God, Paulo Castro, net score of 40, minus 40 points. This was our very first manager of the month. Took 7 transfers for a minus 24 and a net score of minus 40.
I think we've got a goddamn lunatic in our ranks. Mm,
and you know, Dara Kearney, he's actually an Irish manager. I think he's the FPL Tinker.
Tinkerman.
He made 3 transfers at a cost of a minus 8. And he netted himself a minus 29. Would you like to know his mad moves?
Yeah, if it went that fucking tit.
So, yeah.
So now.
Yeah, so Haaland out for Isak. Yes. Diaby out for Salah. Okay. And Madison out for Saka. So, yeah. But not.
Yeah, that is a bit crazy.
No, definitely.
You've shocked me there.
He shocked me too because he's a frequent, like, he's a member of the FPL community in there, like, you would see him about. So.
He ain't a casual.
No, he's not a casual, no.
You're not going to try to see him.
No, I never would.
Unlike Paula.
Yeah, unlike Paula.
Casual manager of the month winner.
Yeah, exactly. So that is our that's our league roundup. So I hope you enjoyed that. So
I did. Yeah. I did. I think we might actually have our manager of the month this month. Like, as in, like, we'll have to talk about this off air, but I'm like, sure, that's the end of October.
Let me see. I'll be able to have a quick look here. I have it up in front of me if it'll be official. When does the next league start, or the next game week?
Friday or Saturday.
So that's
Saturday.
November.
November the 4th.
Okay, so we do have our next manager of the month, and I will tell you who it is right now. This is an exciting episode. All of a sudden, huh?
Twist.
The manager of the month is none other than Donal O'Regan.
Now.
Yes.
Don't tell me he's another Donegal.
No,
native.
I think he's down around your parts, maybe further down into the left.
Real country.
Yeah, he's over around there. I think he might be. Yeah, I think he could be a Limerick man. But we will be in touch. He won that. He got 257 points this week, or this month. And Glenn Judkins was very close behind with 253. And Aaron Yadi's 248.
Pipped
so us. We've had 3 Irish manager of the month's managers.
Almost
so far.
Like this is the greatest Irish podcast in the history of Irish podcasts.
Almost.
Fancy football related.
Just almost like that.
Yeah.
So congratulations, Donal. I will be in touch. And just to before we finish up, we'll do a wee bit of ins and outs.
Okay, the all in out.
Yeah. What are the top transfers out this week so far?
Top transfer is out. Who is everyone hating on right now? I reckon. I don't know. Alvarez?
No, it's game over for you.
Fuck.
The most transferred out in fifth place is Stupinen, Neto, Odegaard, and Udogie.
Udogie and Isak.
And now four of the managers in the most transferred out have got injury signs beside them, hazards, but only one of them doesn't, and that's Odegaard. And Odogie's got a yellow, Isak's got red, Neto's got red, and Stupinen's got red. So that's the most transferred out. The most transferred in should be easy. You should get this.
It has to be. Salah has to be in there.
Nope. It's game.
Fuck!
It's Anderson in fifth place. Son in second and fourth. Douglas Luiz in third. And Mbeumo in second. And the number one manager transferred in, of course, is Nketiah.
Why am I not just looking at last week's points?
Yeah, I know. He's the player of the week this week, by the way, Nketiah, 17 points.
Yeah, he was a big talking point on the internet on Saturday. Your man Praz from The Scout
Praz
and The Wire.
He's
nailed it.
Shining out on that, so he is.
Yeah, fucking rightly so. Anyone that took a punt on him this week.
Did he captain him or anything? No, just took him in.
I didn't see if he captained him. Read that he brought him in. If he captained him, fair. Nah, that'd be a crazy move. Get out of here. Bringing him in is more than enough. So Nketiah, actually, we didn't talk on him. You think something worth looking at?
Nah.
Why not?
Well, is Jesus injured or what?
Well, there you go. That's the why not. I'm not sure. I think that's the thing is worth. If he got confirmed out for a while.
Yeah, definitely, maybe.
He's an option. You know, he's cheap enough still. I'm the same. Away to Arsenal this week, or away to Newcastle this week, isn't exactly an inviting fixture. So, no, easy to avoid for another week or get a bit more info. Paddy, what are your transfer decisions and captaincy?
Right, okay. So my captaincy is going to be Haaland. A wise man told me when things are going shit, it's probably best to go back to ABC, FPL. And well done to Seamus, who ran a marathon or some shit there.
Oh, yes. Congratulations. He won the Halloween marathon.
Well done, Seamus.
Yeah. I think he won it all in all. Like, he beat 16,000 other people. So fair play to him.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah. Don't hold me to it. But, okay, always be closing. Basic ABCs of FPL.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Haaland captain. I'm going to see, wait on the Luis Diaz news. I mean, if he's out, that's a transfer that I have to do, which I will probably either go to Mbeumo or Jota. I think I would like to go Jota because it's just that Luton fixture. And Jota could do some damage for me, and he's very lowly owned as well. And hopefully that he just covers Salah for me while Haaland gets me some points. The rest of the team is kind of okay-ish. Son and Madison, Cash, Watkins again, Hoyland against Fulham. I mean, I've got hope.
Destiny, is it? He's injured.
Yeah. Fuck you. Very well done again, prick.
This week, not entirely sure yet. I might just roll one over. Yeah.
Roll one out.
I do have a mild dilemma in, like, so I'll be benching Burn at home to Arsenal. Like,
me too.
I'll be benching him. But you have Trippier, so you definitely should be benching one of them.
Yeah. I have to see. Odogie's out. Like, it could be out, so.
Yeah, exactly. But I'm benching Burn, right? But I have Anderson for Crystal Palace, who's in the top five transfers in. I don't know if you know. And Taylor for Burnley. So obviously Taylor at home to Crystal Palace and Anderson away to Burnley. And I'm a little bit like that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a fucking sucker for a home fixture. But yeah. I'm a little bit kind of a little bit flip-floppy. I don't know who to play there. Who would you play, Paddy?
Between
Joachim Anderson for Crystal Palace, who is away
just
to
cut
Burnley.
Out there. Oh. Yeah.
Sorry, so Anderson away to Burnley, and then his counterpart in that match is Taylor at home to Palace, obviously the same game.
Oh, probably play Anderson.
Yeah, that's the way I'm leaning right now. I think the fact that...
No, I just feel like he's more of a threat too.
He's also more fucking expensive. So I'm like, why have I got this cunt on my team?
More expensive players.
Just play the more expensive players. It's a solid rule.
I've one for you for my team then. Who should I play, Turner or Areola?
That was my next question for you, so I'm glad you asked. I at the moment have Areola in. I think I'm flip-flopping on that one too, because...
Interesting. Because I had Ariel in, and whenever I turned on the pod, I just flicked it Turner back in.
Yeah.
Because I'm a sucker for the home fixture.
And I feel like they're both going to concede. Like, if I was to...
Yeah.
I feel like they both could concede, or both will concede.
Whichever one we choose...
will do.
Will concede.
Yeah, exactly.
So we need to pick the same keeper.
You just tell me who you're picking, and I'll pick.
Yeah, Jackson. I was going to tell you I was picking and do it.
No, but I'm thinking like home to Villa. Like obviously Villa are on fire at the moment, and that's going to be a really tough fixture. But
first, obviously we want Villa to score.
Exactly. So that's the other side. Like you don't want to be kind of hoping I got my keeper decision right, but Watkins is blanked again. And then with Areola, you're going, you know what? I can see West Ham maybe fucking grinding out a 1-0 win or a 0-0 draw at Brentford. Maybe. I mean, they've only kept one clean sheet all season, so maybe 0-0 is a bit optimistic. But I think I'll just go Areola, just because, as you said, Paddy, I don't want to be cheered on a keeper against my striker, you know?
Yeah.
So I do think it's a much of a muchness, though. I think they're both going to do jack shit. Succeed. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so that's perfect. Paddy, where can everyone find you?
You can get me on Twitter at FPLViking_, and you can get me on Instagram at the Viking Dippers. I will be on my Viking Dippers now. I'm going to be doing Movember, so I'm going to be doing a dip a day for men's health.
Dip a day.
Yeah, dip a day. So any support on that would be very grateful. So thank you very much. That's where you can get me. And where can we get you and the pod, Jer, Bear?
If you want to get me, you can hit me up on Twitter at FPLHangover. Gmail, fplhangover@gmail.com, and then Instagram is fplhangover as well. So all of the FPL hangovers should bring you straight to us. Just a quick reminder that today's mini league was brought to us by our sponsor Kinnegar. The link is in the description. Some nice local craft beer. We'd also like to thank PremierFantasyTools.com for allowing us to use their fixture ticker and stuff for the show. So anything you've seen online, that's been supplied on their, provided by their website. And links to all of these guys are in the description below. If you liked what you heard, hit subscribe, hit like, share with a friend, pass it on. Chinese whispers, I don't care how you do it. It just means a lot to us, and it's greatly appreciated. Paddy, I hope you enjoy the rest of your Halloween. To everyone else, game week 11, may it be full of gold, and most importantly, God bless.